Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening we talk about cancer, about how 90% of all cancers can be prevented through environment and lifestyle choices alone. And according to my guest this evening, science agrees. This evening we talk about how to cope with and beat cancer through diet, lifestyle, and other immune-boosting approaches. My guest this evening is Dr. Susan Silberstein, a PhD, the founder of Beat Cancer Organization. She believes this is the way to go when we hear cancer. Cancer, she says, is just a word. It's not a sentence. She is a sought-after expert and international lecturer on nutrition, cancer prevention, and the psychology of health and disease. She is the winner of many awards, including the Jefferson Award for the American Institute for Public Service and the Founders Award of the National Foundation for Alternative Medicine. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Susan Silberstein. Welcome, Dr. Susan Silberstein, to take charge of your life.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's a pleasure to be with you. Tell me, how did you get started with beatcancer.org?
My story starts back in 1976, actually, about 38 years ago. My very young husband was diagnosed with terminal cancer. It was a very rare cancer. There were no known treatment protocols. His prognosis was 12 months. And so while he was undergoing 7 neurosurgeries and the maximum experimental chemotherapy and radiation that his body could tolerate, I was in the medical libraries. There was no internet in those days. So I was on the telephone, and I was researching doctors and clinics and therapies all over the world. And actually, I uncovered a number of very promising resources, but unfortunately, my husband never got out of the hospital in time to try anything, and he died on schedule in February of 1977.
What kind of
cancer? At the age of 30. It was a rare primitive neural ectodermal tumor, PNET. Still rare today. But when he died, he was destroyed not only by his cancer, but specifically by the ravages of his treatments. He left me with 2 babies and a broken heart, but above all, a burning desire to make a difference. I wanted to help at least one family avoid the terrible tragedy that mine had to experience. And, you know, tragedy can make you bitter or it can make you better. And I guess I chose the second path. I was determined not to bury with him everything that I had learned. I wanted to make lemonade out of these lemons. And so a few months after his death, I established the nonprofit organization Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, which we now refer to by our website name, beatcancer.org. And I'm very proud to say that not only have we helped one family, but we've touched close to 100,000 lives. So we really found the bless in the mess.
So what exactly is the mission of the of your organization, Advancement in Cancer Education?
Our official mission is to provide research-based education on how to prevent, cope with, and beat cancer, as you mentioned, through diet, lifestyle, and other immune-boosting approaches. We are not a treatment center. BeatCancer.org is an educational center, a 501c3 charity, and we specialize in counseling and referrals for prevention of disease, prevention of recurrence of disease, and for support during, after, or instead of treatment.
Now, you know, on the show, we focus on taking charge of your life. Besides what doctors do for us as patients, what do you believe that cancer patients can do for themselves?
Oh, my goodness. There is so much that patients can do for themselves. Now, oncologists look for cancer treatments, and they try to make them disappear, which sometimes happens at the expense of the patient. We teach patients every other way to regain and maintain their health. Now, if you have a heart attack, it's so interesting. Right away, the doctors say, well, you've got to change your diet, you've got to exercise, you've got to reduce stress, because you have the control for preventing future attacks. But when you get cancer, no one offers you choice or control or even comfort. The doctors are in charge, and nothing you do is supposedly going to make any difference. So what we teach people how to do is make specific lifestyle choices relating to what they're eating and what's eating them in particular. We teach them how to avoid toxic exposures. We teach them how to address the causes of the cancer rather than just the symptom. We teach them how to improve their quality of life. We teach them how to change the biological terrain that allowed the cancer to take place in the first place to a health-promoting terrain. We teach people how to improve their nutritional and immune and psychological status, manage treatment side effects if they're taking treatment, make other choices if they are not candidates for conventional therapy or have failed on conventional therapy or want no parts of conventional therapy, how to extend their life, and especially that all-important quality of life issue. Because most cancer patients that are surviving, and there are millions of them, they are not thriving.
Now, can you give us an example of or a couple of examples of some people that you have helped change their outlook, or I don't know about their outcome, but maybe both, an outlook and outcome.
Outlook and outcome both work.
Okay.
Yeah, there have been so many cases. In general, I will say that, and then I'll give you some specifics, you know, patients who undergo cancer treatment, they often have compromised immune function, low blood cell counts, they have no appetite, poor energy, weight loss issues, all kinds of digestive disturbances and pain and anxiety and depression. And all of those patients have the potential to really benefit from the services that we provide. Let me give you some specific examples of patients whom we've helped in different ways. We help patients make informed decisions as well. So this is one of our oldest cases. Ellen called me in a panic. She was calling from the hospital. Sympathetic nurse had dropped my business card in her lap and kind of ducked out of the room in a hurry. But Ellen was about to sign her authorization papers for the surgery that she was due to have in an hour or so. And she was very uncomfortable with those papers because it allowed the doctor to, she had ovarian cancer, and the doctor sought permission on this form to not only remove the one ovary that had the cancer, but the other ovary, in fact, do a panhysterectomy, take out all of her reproductive organs, and then it also gave him permission while she was under anesthesia to do a full colostomy if he decided. She started reading this piece of paper and was getting more and more and more and more anxious by the moment. And so she did call me, and I said one thing simply to her. I said, it sounds like you might like a second opinion. And she just jumped on that. And I said, I think I might be able to refer you to a surgeon who might have a more conservative approach. She checked herself right out of the hospital, much to the great joy of the operating room schedule person and the surgeon. I didn't tell her I just said it sounds like you want a second opinion. And, in fact, I did refer her to a surgeon who agreed to operate only on the one diseased ovary. And after that, we got her in the hands of doctors who worked with her nutritionally and immunologically. And this woman, who was about to be hacked to pieces, ended up fully recovered lived for decades after her cancer diagnosis.
Well, that is such a wonderful true episode that you have been helpful in helping another patient to have a different kind of life. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is Dr. Susan Silberstein, who is the founder and president of BeatCancer.org, also known as Cancer for Advancement in Cancer Education, a nonprofit organization established over three decades ago. My goodness, this is a wonderful story about survival and taking charge of your life.
Oh, I can give you many more.
Well, I think that's a very important aspect, because most times, or I would say many times, we go for an examination and we're told, you have to do this. For example, I know of a woman who had a growth on her thyroid. And the doctors could not find anything in any of their extensive testing that showed that there was anything negative, simply that there was a growth. And when she went to the thyroid specialist, he said, let's take it out. And when the woman said, well, you didn't find anything, he said, well, we'll operate, we'll find out. If we need to, we'll take out the thyroid. You know what she did? She left.
Mm-hmm.
She left, but she's not sure. She's still not sure that she made the right decision. But it just didn't seem to thrive or to coordinate with the information that was coming up with the exams. How would you advise a woman like that?
Oh, we have so many patients that are on the fence about decisions, and doctors do. You know, they make decisions based on protocol. Everything that we do is individualized to each patient. Not only their physical and financial and geographic limitations, but also their belief system. So that is crucial. For example, we had a patient who was on the fence about chemotherapy for breast cancer. And her intuition was telling her that she needed a more natural approach, but the doctors and everybody who had an opinion, her friends and relatives and neighbors, everybody was recommending, oh, you got to do the chemo. And she came to me, and I said, you know, I cannot tell you what to do, but I can give you some ways to get the right answer that's going to be right for you. She said, well, how do I do that? I said, well, I think you'll have to start by slowing down that loud left-brain logical chatter that's ripping you in half in your brain and go with your gut. I said, do you ever meditate or pray? And I said, I want you to go home and try to get your inner truth in that way. And she came back a week later, and she said, I said, did you get your answer? And she said, well, do dreams count? I said, well, I think they might. I said, tell me your dream. And she told me that she had a dream about two pools of water, and one pool was crowded, and everybody was saying, come on in, it's great in here. And the other pool was much clearer and brighter and sparkly, but there was no one in there. And she said she kept looking at the two pools, and I said, what did you finally do? She said, well, I dove into the empty pool. And I said, well, how was that for you? And she said, it was perfect. And I said, do you think this might have anything to do with the decision? She said, I think I have to be the loner, but do what is inviting for me. And she turned down the chemo, and we worked on a whole nutrition and prevention of recurrence program, and she thrived.
And we will learn more about Susan Silberstein, founder and president of Beat Cancer. .org or the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
WDIY is proud to partner with the Allentown Symphony Pops, presenting a tribute to Benny Goodman, Saturday, July 12th, featuring clarinetist Dave Bennett and his band, a recreation of the sound and artistry of Benny Goodman and the swing era. For information, millersymphony.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. We're talking with Dr. Susan Silverstein, who is founder and president of BeatCancer.org, also known as the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, a not-for-profit organization established over three decades ago. She is a much sought-after expert and international lecturer on nutrition, cancer prevention, and the psychology of health and disease. Dr. Susan, you were giving us some very interesting examples of people who really had to probe inside of themselves to see how they wanted to work with the professional, with the doctors in their life, and what path they want to choose. How does your organization help people cope with making that kind of decision?
I'm so glad you asked that, because we really have a unique model at BeatCancer.org. We provide one-on-one, individualized telephone consultation services, coaching, referrals, all focused on providing hope and empowerment. We provide all kinds of resources. This is done on a donation basis. We charge no fee for service. We get no insurance reimbursement. Everything is done on a donation basis. If a patient can't donate, we help them anyway. And it is all personalized to the individual circumstances and what he or she is looking for.
So how do
nothing is done by protocol.
So how does a person, is all of this done by phone, or do you have individual consultations in person? How is it done?
In the past, we've done many consultations in person, but what we've found is that we're getting calls from all over the world. They have to be English speaking. That helps us do a very efficient job. And so we now are working primarily by telephone. And we set up an appointment, and then we just work with these patients, and we not only answer their questions, but we ask questions. We ask hundreds of questions to learn everything we can about each patient. What is so interesting is that the father of modern medicine, Sir William Osler, he said it is much less important what kind of disease the patient has than what kind of patient has the disease.
Well, that's very interesting, because that takes us to the psychological health of the patient when dealing with cancer. How important is that when you're dealing with a patient with cancer, the psychological health?
It is probably the difference between life and death.
Can you explain
that's
that?
That's how important. We have an entire field of research known as psychoneuroimmunology. It's been around about as long as I have in this field. Excuse me. And that field measures the relationship, the effect of emotional stress on the immune system and the hormone balances and the whole nerve system. And we've all found that those of us who are working in this field that even more important than what we're eating is what's eating us.
That's so very important. Say that again.
Very, very more important than what we're eating. And let me tell you, that is very important. But even more important is what's eating us.
Can you give us an example of that you've discovered in some of your patients that makes that true?
Oh, absolutely. I had a woman with DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, which, depending on which doctor you ask, it's either cancer or a precancer, or you don't really have to worry about it. But the truth is that it can lead to more active disease.
In what part of the body?
It's a breast cancer precursor. And I had one patient depending on whether she stuck with the healthful diet or she cheated on that diet, whether she was having an abusive period in her marriage or the marriage was on a happy note, that DCIS would either show up or disappear.
Was that in response, her response to it, to what was going on in her life?
Well, it had to do with her dietary choices, and it had to do with whether her husband and children were being abusive. What we did was teach her not only the cause and effect, but we taught her specifically how to respond to these abuses. And we had another breast cancer patient. I've broken up an awful lot of marriages, I have to tell you.
I was just going to ask, in this case, before you go on, I was just going to ask, in the case where this woman had an abusive relationship, did she finally get out of that relationship, or how did that resolve itself?
She did. And
she did.
We've worked on an awful lot of other marriages that needed to be broken up and other types of relationships. I'm not going to say that that stress that leads to cancer is all limited to your significant other. There are all kinds of emotional patterns that can get you into cancer trouble. Some of them are just patterns you learn from childhood, and others have to do with negative relationships. Others have to do with your own relationship with yourself. And what we found is that the patients who beat the odds, the patients who really recover and have long-term permanent recoveries, in contrast with what is expected by the medical practitioners who are working with them, these are patients who use cancer as an opportunity for learning and growth. These are patients who change everything negative about their lives. Their bad relationships, they learn forgiveness, they learn to express negative emotions like anger and resentment, they find life purpose, they learn to find joy in life, they look at all kinds of lifestyle changes, how they work, where they live, etc., and they start to really take charge. The theme of your show, cancer is, you want to get rid of cancer, it's not just about letting the doctors do their thing to you. It's about learning from that disease and making the most important aspects of your life different from the way they were that led you down that cancer path.
You're really saying that you're helping your patients to take charge of their lives and make a difference. And what has been happening is very often it sounds like patients are coming in, and many of us are in this, where things are happening around us and we feel that we're not in control and we have no choice and we sometimes get defeated. We're living in very difficult circumstances right now.
Well, that is true, you know, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because cancer is always about comfort, choice, and control. And what happens is, when you've been diagnosed, you hear from the doctors that you aren't going to have any choice, and you're not going to have any control, and you're not going to have much comfort because you have to put up with this uncomfortable treatment and these uncomfortable side effects and these uncomfortable diagnostic tests. And our mission, if you want to call it our informal mission, is to teach people how to regain comfort and control and choice in their lives, possibly that they never dreamed they had way before the cancer was even diagnosed.
I have an example to give to you. I have a dear friend who is from Virginia, and she was living with her sons, and she had been diagnosed with kidney failure. And they took her to dialysis lectures to show her what she could do to help herself so that she could continue to live. And however, it meant that she would have to go to the dialysis three times a week, etc., and she would have to continue to live outside of her home territory, which was in Virginia, and she didn't want to live up in the Pennsylvania area. And so she said to her son, she said, "Honey," he says, "I've made a decision. I've listened to all the lectures, and I've made a decision. If God wants me, he's going to take me, but I'm going to do it on his terms and not on theirs. And I'm going home, and I'm going to live my life. And if he wants me, he'll take me, but I'm not doing dialysis." And you know what? That was about 2-3 years ago.
Yes.
And she's doing fine. And
she's
accepted whatever she feels God had in store for her. And she did it on her terms. She took charge of her life.
And that's very different from just being a fatalist and saying, "Oh, I have terminal cancer, I'm going to die, and that's the end of it."
But you're saying, "I have terminal cancer, I'm going to live as much as I can and go with that."
Yes, because terminal only means that the doctor is out of tools.
Say that again.
Terminal only means that the doctor's toolbox is empty.
And that it's important for us to find a way to fill it ourselves.
Absolutely. And there are so many resources, so many resources.
Now, we're running out of time. I want you to mention the kind of training that you offer professionals online to become part of your organization.
Yes, we do. We offer a certification program. We're very, very proud of it. That is a program for health professionals, as well as for laypersons that have a background in health or nutrition or ministry or caregiving, not just doctors, nurses, psychologists, social workers, all kinds of people in the health field. And this is an online program on demand. It is 9.5 contact hours. We teach proven holistic and complementary and alternative approaches for cancer. We teach about psychological status and how to improve immune status and minimize treatment side effects, enhance quality of life. We talk about how to do a holistic intake and design an individual game plan, an individualized game plan.
Dr. Silverstein, I want to ask you, how can people get in touch with your organization?
They can go to beatcancer.org. They can email us at info@beatcancer.org. They can call us toll-free at 888-551-2223. They can sign up for our emails and notification of our educational materials. We have a wonderful blog. Our website is very, very informative. And there are just many ways people can get help. And if they want to give help, we need interns and volunteers and social media helpers. And there's lots of ways that people can get involved.
Thank you so much, Dr. Susan Silverstein, founder of BeatCancer.org, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that cancer is just a word and not a sentence. Thank you for helping us to know and understand that we can beat cancer. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.